Ready? Okay. Conference Committee on Senate File 657 will come to order. We're very happy to be here today and ready to really make some progress and get this bill done today in a very short time period, we expect. So our plan briefly for today, we have an amendment, which I think you all have received in a spreadsheet. We're going to go through those first. The amendment is not 100% complete, so I just want to say that first of all. There's a couple missing pieces, so don't be alarmed. I know for a couple things that I know, three things that I know for sure that are missing are a definition of solar, which we're working on. Yeah, it's not quite there yet. And then, unless you have it, you may have it as an amendment. We may have that ready to go as a separate amendment.
Yes.
Are you sure we
will.
Don't worry. We've got all the pieces. All the pieces are converging together. But in the amendment that's been passed out, which is the A30 amendment, there's a couple of gaps. So I just don't want people to be alarmed that not everything is in here that they might expect to see. We will also have a slightly different definition of renewables, because we're trying to reconcile the House and Senate. As you all know, this has been a challenging bill for our staff to put together, because it was all new language and couldn't just pick and choose from the different sides. So it had to sort of all be merged together. So as we go through the language, there's a lot of House and Senate language kind of mixed together. And then there's a Minnesota product preference language, which we'll deal with later. There's a couple of other minor amendment language things that we'll be taking up later. But my plan for right now is go through the language, go through the spreadsheet, take any questions from the committee about what we have in front of us. This represents the best agreement that we know of to date from the chairs that have put together to present as a recommended amendment. And then we will hear briefly from the department.
Briefly.
Very briefly. And then we're going to recess. We're going to hear from the department, just to hear very briefly about a couple of remaining issues that they'd like us to deal with. Then we're going to recess. We want to give everyone a chance to read this carefully, absorb what's in there, give our council a chance to put together remaining amendments, and then we'll come back in an hour or two, or as soon as we're ready, and wrap up the bill by voting on the amendment and any other amendments. Is that clear? All right. Mr. Fuller, would you like to start with the A30 amendment, please?
Madam Chair, this is a delete everything amendment, so this would, as it's amended, would be recommended for the conference committee report. It has 7 articles, including one on appropriations, so they'll be at the end of the bill. And there's as a preview, within the appropriation section, there is flexibility given to the department to reallocate the funds under a certain procedure, basically in a common sense direction. So on page 1, you'll see on line 10 that we're now referring to the commissioner. This is no slight to the Office of Energy Security as we go all the way. It's in statute. It's not intended to change anything that any of the structures they want to set up, but in fact, the office is an executive order creature, and it was thought better to deal with commerce, which is a statutory creature. On line 25, you'll see that there's definitions before that, which are nothing new. On line 25, there's an administrative cost limit. That's an important provision, 5% for administration of Articles 2 to 4, which are the program articles. Subdivision 4 sets up some standards for bidders who bid on contracts under the stimulus package here. They be qualified and participate in apprentice programs, and suggest the use of a state bidding procedure where that's practicable. On the top of page 2, you'll see that there's a, and this I believe has been agreed to with the department, that there'll be notice to the chairs, to the legislature, minority members of grant awards greater than $25,000 under this act. So then Article 2 is the energy efficiency article. Section 1 deals with weatherization. It's been broken down into subdivisions. Subdivision 1, there's really nothing new here. Priority to increasing the number of units weatherized, Section 2, attempt to increase rental unit participation, Section, or Subdivision 3, I'm sorry, the shelter language, basically restating the fact that they are eligible. Subdivision 4, I think, is something you should look at there. It mandates the maximum, it's a change. Maximum income eligibility would be that allowed under federal law, but it gives time for the agency to get there with whatever bureaucratic red tape they have to go through to do that. Solar heat was in the bill before, a federal waiver on Subdivision 6. Subdivision 7 on 2.26 is an exception to state law that will accommodate the urgency of making payments under this program. Section 2 is the housing finance agency part, the residential housing, where they're going to coordinate with the Department of Commerce and financing programs. As I said, the appropriations are in the back, and they'll go, there is an appropriation for all these programs, most of them separately stated. The thought here is to make sure that there's flexibility amongst with the housing finance agency to use programs for which there's a public demand. I thought it was my hearing aid.
It's your conscience, Mr. Falk.
That's where it is.
Madam Chair, I think that the news story there is that there is a conscience on the House floor.
Section 3 on page 3 is, and Section 4 are identical, on 3.24 are identical programs for two cities in the Minnesota Power Service Territory. And it's language we've seen before, formerly associated with the Duluth program language, and they would be eligible under Section 3 to get on. Section 5 on page 4.9, I think you remember this was formerly mostly the CERTS language, it's the outreach. It's been changed with to make it much more flexible, more opportunities for different organizations to do different things. And you'll see, I think, on 4.20, there is the ability, but not the requirement, that the Commissioner of Commerce may hire a coordinating community agency based organization to coordinate all these activities, and that could include CERTs, but it doesn't have to, which is on 4.23, that statutory reference does identify the CERTs organization. Section 6 are the pass-through block grant programs that the Commerce Department has received money that they can pass through to local governments. I don't think there's anything new here. What you'll notice is, like on 4.30 in the laundry list of things that qualify, in addition to others, there's a window replacement, and that is a defined term that back in the beginning of the bill on 1.21, and that has to be an Energy Star window. It's not a Minnesota-specific produced window. It's a type of window. That's what all the parties agreed was the most appropriate way to address the window issue. 4.34, Section 7 is a local government and school district renovation program. I think one of the new principles is that on 5.9 to 5.12, and this goes to the state program as well in other language, that is part of participating and getting money out of this program, the Commissioner of Commerce may require the entity receiving the grant to agree to do additional things as well, so that, in a sense, they're not free riders on this program. State renovation program is on 5.17. On 5.28, there's language that the funds under this grant program can be used to develop a system of procedures to set any reduction goals for state buildings, to automate utility bill data and analysis, and to develop a system for reporting monthly energy use, sort of the backbone of a conservation program that some think is missing. So that was new. on page 6.6, section 9, and then 6.21, section 10, 6.31, section 11, section on page 7, 7.1. No, that's it. Those four sections, nine, I guess there's three, 9, 10, 11. Those relate to the lease financing agreement that we authorized, I think, last year, and where there are private parties involved, and the Attorney General thought there was some, and I think suggested some language that was necessary to have those agreements work. So that's what those are there for, that these agreements are an obligation of the state, and they can enter into the normal sort of agreements that are necessary for this sort of arrangement in the private world. Section 7, or page 7.3, section 12, is a grant to a nonprofit with extensive experience in the delivery of energy efficiency programming and technical analysis. That's Energy Technology Transfer Center. I think this is the proposal that is related to the Center for Energy and the Environment. Section 13 is authorization for the Commissioner of Commerce to develop a plan and to seek funding for a National Energy Efficiency Center. Apparently there is an opportunity under the federal stimulus package or maybe other legislation to receive money for this purpose. So that's Article 2. Article 3 is renewable energy, and as Chair Anderson said today, that there is some work in progress on this, trying to get the definitions consistent and what is intended so that the funds can be used for the purposes for which the members desire. And so you'll see on 7.25 that solar and solar energy is left blank. That's kind of a placeholder to remind ourselves to make sure we do it. And so we will do that. And I noticed that on line 7.24 we define the commissioner as the Commissioner of Commerce, which we've already done. So maybe we should just draw a line through that. Later. Section 2 is a rebate program for the Commissioner of Commerce that generates electricity from a renewable source or provides heating and cooling from a geothermal system, and that's new basically on line 7.31, and that provides the energy, the heating or cooling to a homeowner's residence or a business with 20 or fewer employees. And you'll see there are limits, and I think those are new.
The limits are new.
It's the lesser of $10,000 for a homeowner or $25,000 for a business or 35% of the cost of the qualifying facility. I think the intent, well, that's what it does. And you'll see a qualifying facility is on line 8.9 is a 40 kilowatt or less. So they're smaller, and then there's the definitions of renewable energy sources that can be used to generate that electricity. Section 3 on 8.20 authorizes or requires the commissioner to award rebates for homeowners and business to install solar energy. That's related to a current program. There is an appropriation. Section 4 is the Solar Cities program. It's cut down. The thought there is that they're the Federal Department of Energy has designated certain areas, and it's a concentrated concept to see what happens if you really intensively do it in a limited geographical area. Section 5 on 8.31, it's a renewable grant program to schools and local government. You'll notice that local government, it does include schools, and the renewable energy system on 9.3 has another, it means energy, solar energy, wind energy conversion systems of 3.3 megawatts or less. Let's see here. Programs to finance the purchase and installation of these devices. I'm looking to see if there's anything that's... Yeah, the change on 9.30, you'll see that the grant terms, those are the limits on the size of the grant.
Mr. Fuller, I apologize. I'm just going to have to call a three-minute recess to go vote. I apologize, members. There's a close roll call vote on the Senate floor. We'll stand in recess. We'll be back as the instant we press our buttons.